How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's a little bit. We've got a different setup. We're trying, you know, COVID's got us trying some technical things, people. We're getting technical. So we're trying a new way of recording. Let's hope it works. Here's hoping.
It's a year of trying new things, I guess.
You know, I feel like, too, we started in January, and it's October now, so it's, like, a good portion of the year, but I feel like the fact that we're still doing this in the middle of COVID is, like, go us. Go team.
Right on. I mean, my goodness.
I think that says a lot about us as people, personally.
Can't believe that Halloween is next weekend. So
I know, that's really weird. And I just realized I went to a friend's house last night. We had a small get together with like 5 people. It was not a big to do, and we were all socially distant. But we did pumpkin carving, and I realized I hadn't done that in like a long time. I don't know. I don't remember when I ever did it. I'm sure. My grandmother, like, you know, she was creative, so I'm sure we did that at some point in my childhood, but it was fun. I didn't remember, like, how fun.
There's my pumpkin book.
Yeah. Look at your little pumpkin.
Yes, we love to roast the seeds.
That's what we were talking about. I personally don't like pumpkin seeds. I only ever like pumpkin or a pumpkin flavor when it's, like, a soup. Or like something like that. I don't really like pumpkin's just not a flavor. That is, I'm not a basic woman.
Awesome with some olive oil and chili lime spice.
Ooh.
And salt. So they're salty, spicy. So they're not pumpkin-y.
Oh, that's cool though. I like that a lot. Yeah, we were talking about that last night. That's just not my cup of tea. I've never had a pumpkin seed before. My brother used to tell me things when I was little, like if I ate certain thing, like a lemon, like a thing from a lemon, it would like grow lemons in my belly and stuff. So like, of course, you know, I'm older and a wise person, but that's still like,
it's scarlet for seeds.
Yes, it's a fear in the back of my mind that something's going to grow in my stomach. Completely not justified or anything, but you know, that's what happens. But yeah, so that was fun. And we talked about, my friend and I talked about the new season of Great British Baking Show and how this weekend was pastry week.
Pastry week.
Oh, gotta love pastry week.
You won't give any spoilers away.
No spoilers. But I had a feeling that who went home was gonna go home. Like I had a feeling. So
it was time. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't super surprised. I'm going to miss that person because I love them dearly. But like we were talking before, this season is the first season where I'm like, I love this person, this person, this person. And then I'm like, but I also love this person. Like, I love everybody. Like, it's not, there's no different, you know, like, I don't wish anyone could win and I would be happy about it kind of thing. There's that young guy, though, that's, like, crushing it.
Oh, yeah, he's the baby.
Yeah.
What I find extraordinary is, you know, all of those bakers had to live in a bubble.
Right.
So the longer they're in it, the longer they have to stay in a bubble, plus... You know, they don't win a prize, like a money. They just do it because they like it. They like baking.
Yeah, so. It's so weird. I was thinking about that too. Like if they're in the bubble, like how do they get like their supply? Because, you know, like they want to practice during the week and stuff. And so I had a lot of questions. Before it used to be what happened to all the pastries when the weekend was over. But now I'm worried about if they're practicing enough, if they're getting their supplies, like, are they hanging out? I mean, I hope that they're like chilling and having parties and stuff because they're together. Yeah. They had to quarantine. So they're together. Ooh. The dog. Hi.
I don't know where, I don't know where I saw it, but one of them was complaining because, not complaining or joking, that they got in trouble with Paul Hollywood because they were complaining about his pizza that he made. So I think they are hanging out.
I love that. I mean, all they have is each other, so and the crew, I guess, but yeah.
I'd think love that's, for Paul Hollywood to make me a pizza. That'd be great.
I would love that, too. I feel like Paul Hollywood doesn't bake enough or do stuff enough where I'm like, are you actually a good enough judge for this? Like,
yeah.
But anyway.
They're doing a lot of, I'm going to get off this topic in a hot sec because I know people are not that.
I know. I'm like 5 minutes and we're still talking about
what I'm They're choosing things that are remarkably un-British, like bagels. And we're
right.
Like, they made them make rainbow bagels and like.
Rainbow bagels. Yeah, and brownies. I was like, what is this? I don't know. And they all sucked at the brownie challenge. So.
And the bagels, too.
And the bagels. I thought that was hysterical. But I'm like, they're not British. Come on, man. I just needed to go back. This is the last thing I'll say. I need to go back to the BBC so we can get the queen that is Mary Berry back and all the original people. It needs to go back to the beginning because it was just so British and so lovely and so great. And I miss it.
Yeah.
But yes. So obviously we can tell what I have done with the past the past couple of days. It's nothing. Surprise. But yeah, so we were kind of taught, you said Halloween, can't believe it's Halloween. So sticking on that idea, I was trying to think of something like spooky, kind of like whatever. And obviously we have a lot of like haunted stuff in New Orleans. So I didn't want to do something that was obvious because why be obvious? But I did go a little far outside of New Orleans, still in Louisiana. But I wanted to find a spooky story and I found one story that, I wish I could have found more on the victim. And I hate that about certain things. Like they talk a whole lot about, like the murderers and the people involved and they don't really like discuss the victim. So I was kind of sad about that. I was trying to find something about it, but, a couple of things that came up were written by our friend, fellow writer, and she works with both of us, but Cherie Cohen.
Oh, yeah. So
Cherie Cohen, for anyone that doesn't know, is like a Louisiana travel know-it-all. Like, she knows everything about this state. Like, if Cherie doesn't know about it, it's not worth knowing about because she goes everywhere and does everything and just knows literally everything about everything. And she actually wrote a blog about this for the website we work for, like I work for. So we work for New Orleans Magazine and so she wrote a blog about it. And I thought that was so cool because I remember her writing about it, but I guess it just didn't like stick in my brain when I first read it. So this story this week is about the DeRidder. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gothic hanging jail.
Oh.
Have we heard about this?
No.
Okay. So DeRidder is like probably it's like in between. Okay, so if you're looking at the Louisiana map, it's very close to the Texas border, but it's like kind of in between, halfway in between Lake Charles and Alexandria. So Alexandria is like the dead middle of the state, essentially. And then Lake Charles is off to the southwest. had to think about my directions there for a second. The southwest. And so like DeRidder is kind of like in the middle of those two. But I love about it is you can go do like spooky things and then just stay there. Like have a staycation in Louisiana and just live it up.
Love it.
Right. I think it's great. It's a very small town too. Like even on the Google map thing, this jail is like a, you know how like in certain cities they map out, they put a pin where like this important things are. Well, this is an important thing.
Okay.
So our story is very old It is, let's see, it is 94 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So it starts August 31st in 1926.
Okay.
Two young boys went fishing in an old sawmill pond when one of their fishing hooks decided to snag up a dead body instead of a fish. So a dead body, these two boys found a dead body, and I like couldn't imagine, like I like just going fishing super, you know, chill and relaxed, and then all of a sudden like you pull up a dead body.
Yeah, no.
Like, definitely would have had nightmares. Probably would have had to sleep in my mom's bed for, like, a while. Like, yeah, wow. Wouldn't have been able to handle it. So the body was that of J.J. Joe Breville? B-R-E-V-E-L-L-E. Okay. Breville. I'm going to go with Breville because it ends like Michelle. So we're going to go with Breville. So... Joe was a taxi driver in DeRidder, so in that area. So it was discovered, I think it was discovered pretty quickly who was responsible for this, given that it was the 1920s. But it was discovered that he was murdered 3 days earlier on August 28th when he picked up Joe Genna and Moulton Brasso on August 28th to take them to John Miller Road. Apparently that's a big, it's not called that anymore. I forgot what it's called now, but that's like their main road kind of thing, like somewhere on this road. So on September 2nd, DeRidder is in Beauregard Parish. Beauregard Parish's assistant district attorney and their deputies arrested both of these men. So they figured out pretty quickly who did it and that they were guilty for it. And during this time after they arrested them, both men ended up confessing to the murder of Breville. But apparently there was like, I guess in the 1920s, like there's no cameras, there's no, like, you know, so I think some issue, because I read some court documents and then some like newspaper articles and then all of this kind of stuff. So apparently there was some not so great ways of getting this confession.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like they just sat in a room for like 12 hours and like, you know, got it out of them. They didn't do some nice stuff to them, apparently. Yes. So the two men confessed to killing Joe Breville with a knife and a hammer. And then stealing the $14 he had on him and his car, which $14 in 1920 was like a good chunk of change. Probably like his weekend's, you know, business kind of thing from driving his cab. And it said that they stole the car to go on a joyride. Because, you know, you brutally murder someone and all that to go on a joyride
with a hammer. Like, if you think about that, that's just,
Yeah. I read one thing that said they slit his throat. I read another that there was a couple of different things, but apparently both a knife and a hammer were involved. Gross. So gross. Disgusting. Hate it. Side interlude, fun fact. So I said last time that I moved into my new apartment, and this thing, so when my grandma was my grandpa was really sick when he died and he had cancer, and so my grandma was going to be essentially like by herself with her kids and all of that. So she had this crowbar that like my grandfather gave to her to like protect her from intruders, essentially. And this crowbar now is passed down to me in its third generation.
My goodness.
So she gave it to my mom and it lived under my mom's bed for a long time. And now in my new apartment, it lives under my bed. So if anyone tries to come and mess with me, you will get a crowbar to the face, essentially.
Seems heavy to pick up.
Nah, girl, it's good. I can, you know, just swing it around a little bit. And it's got the end on it, like the little hook end. Oh, yeah. Yeah, nobody mess with me, man. Nobody come trying to get in my door. You don't want anything in my apartment anyway.
Plus, you have Hugo there to protect you, so.
He does actually sound like he's a lot bigger than he is. So when people hear him, they're like, oh, damn, that's a big dog. And then they see him and they laugh. So it's not exactly effective when people see him. But, you know, if I've got a crowbar and he's got the bark.
Yes.
I feel like who wouldn't be scared of us? We are terrifying duo.
Yes. Yeah.
The least terrifying thing you'll ever see, me and Hugo. So going back to something not funny, they apparently in this joyride, they decided, so it said that Joe Brevel drove them like 6 miles, like out of the city or something, like wherever they were going, it was like 6 miles away. So they drove the car, the two men drove the car with his body still inside, like back to where he picked, like the area where he picked them up, and back to like DeRidder, and they dumped his body outside of the sawmill, in the sawmill pond, before taking the car, and then they eventually went their separate ways, which I was very confused by this whole, so there wasn't anything... Yeah, there wasn't anything that gave, like, a why. Like, what was your backing behind all of this? Even in, like, the court documents, like, there wasn't anything. And I think, and I will say something later of, I think, why the court documents didn't have a full why or breakdown of, like, why you did this kind of thing. I think I have an idea why. But, so they eventually went their separate ways, and Jenna, with a bunch of other friends, according to another newspaper story. And I was like, okay, how do you explain this car to your, like, two friends? Like, you normally have to take a taxi places, and then all of a sudden you have this car that is a taxi. Very weird.
Yeah. So I now have a taxi cab.
Yeah, like, oh, one day I just showed up. If I just showed up with, like, an unexplained car to you and you didn't question that, I'd question
it was a taxi
you.
Cab. If you were driving a taxi cab, I'd be like, what's happening?
What happened? What are you doing?
What's going on?
Right. Are you moonlighting as a taxi driver? Right. Exactly. It's very weird. I don't understand. So he and his like friends, they take the car up to the Texas Louisiana border, and then they set it on fire. I don't know.
Okay.
And then he goes into Texas, and so they find him in Texas, and then Brasso ended up in Sulphur, and so they just, like, went their separate ways, and I'm like, did you go your separate ways because you killed somebody, and you were like, shit, maybe we should disperse, but right. I just have a lot of questions. I have, like, a lot of questions.
Here's $7. Here's my $7.
Right. You take the car. Yeah. It's like, then how did Brasso get back to Moulton is his first name, which I was like, that's ridiculous. But so Moulton ends up in Sulphur. How'd you get there, Moulton? Like, how did we get back to Sulphur?
Did you get another cab?
Yeah. Did you get another cab? Did you murder another person? Like, what happened here? So the trials for the two men started in October of that year. Jenna's started on October 11th. And it only took 4 days for, like, 4 days later, like, the whole thing took 4 days from start to the jury convicting him of murder. Mm-hmm. Brasso's began 3 days after Jenna's and only took 3 days for them to finish and come to a guilty verdict. Wow. Each man was sentenced to death by hanging, which was the legal way to do executions in Louisiana at the time. And originally it was set for December 30th, which I was like, wasting no time, zero time wasted. However, both men and their lawyers or team or whatever, there were numerous appeals. So each man tried to appeal a bunch of different stuff. I think they both tried to stress an insanity plea, which I was like, that's ridiculous. Get out of
here. They were both insane at the same time.
Exactly. I'm like, you both had like an insane attack at one time and like murdered this man. Then I thought this was funny. Both of their girlfriends, who they told Bravel that they were going to like a party or something with their girlfriends when they got in the cab, but both of their girlfriends tried to help them escape. They reportedly baked a couple of cakes for them and inside put like razor blades and stuff like inside the cake. And so it's that one like newspaper report or something said that the officer that was like over them or whatever, like just decided to cut into the cake and before they gave it to them. And he found it in there. And so it was like, obviously the two men did not get their cake.
So, I didn't think people actually really tried to do that. That's
apparently they do. I was also watching an episode of Lock Up one time on MSNBC. And this lady tried to like throw something into an elevator door before it closed with her like boyfriend who was in jail, like in there. And so I forgot what was in the water bottle or what was in the thing that she threw, the canister that she threw. But yeah, she like tried to help him get out. And then they caught her on camera because there's cameras all up in a jail. Like, what are you doing? Well, not in the 1920s, but now there is. And so they were like, what were you even doing? Like, what? You're on camera, you idiot. And then, so after the girlfriend's attempt failed, Jenna, Jenna was like not about being hung. Like he was just not about it at all. And so he attempted suicide, but they got to him before and like pumped his stomach. He took a bunch of pills and pumped his stomach before. So he like didn't succeed. So eventually, Brasso.
Why would you do that? Like,
I have no idea. I guess like you want to go out on your own terms or something.
Why would you take him? Like, why would you, if he's already dying?
I guess I understand the saving the person more because like if you're in jail and you did a horrible crime, I'm not surprised that they wouldn't save him just to be executed. I'm not surprised by that. But I also feel like even in the 20s, they had to have some sort of thing where you had to like help the person. Like you had to like just let them. Yeah. Like I think they had to bend some rules. But
it's like in such a rural, like they're so swiftly trying to hang them that they would.
I know. But so they didn't end up being executed until 2 years later. So all of this kind of stuff, like each of them, the numerous appeals, the girlfriends getting them to escape, he tried to commit suicide like a couple of days before he was actually executed. So I think he was like, that was his last ditch effort kind of thing. Like he lost all of his appeals. He did all of that, like, you know, so it didn't work. So that's what he was trying to, I don't know, go out in a blaze of glory, I guess. They were eventually executed on March 9th, 1928. It was the first double execution in Beauregard Parish and the only execution to happen in the DeRidder jail, but it was forever then labeled as the hanging jail.
Ugh.
So I wrote a note and I just feel like people were executed at jails all the time. And I don't know if maybe because like this was the first, like it's a double execution. So it didn't say execution. So I'm assuming there have been other executions in this parish. So I'm like, why? I was like, why are you going to do that jail like that? And just like give them this name. They only killed two people. Like, I don't know. By that time it had been open for like 12 years. Like the jail had been in like, so I'm like, there's no way that was the first person you killed. So I was like, come on, man. Like, it's not like they're hanging people left and right kind of thing. So the jail is also called the Gothic jail. And that's because of its architecture. It's actually really pretty, but if you see certain pictures, it's like super spooky. Like you look at that building and you're like, that is haunted. There are ghosts in there. There's shit going down. like stuff is happening in that place.
Yeah.
So it's called the Gothic Jail, and the jail's frame and parts of the interior were created entirely from concrete poured into block forms and fused together, which I was like, shit, that's a lot. And the walls were 12 inches thick to ensure no prisoners escaped.
Okay.
So
pretty intense.
Yeah, it's a thick bitch, man. Like it's a big lady. A new jail was shortly after this built another jail. And so the De Ridder jail, the Gothic jail, sat vacant for more than 30 years. However, in 1981, it was then added to the National Register of Historic Places.
You mean the hanging jail?
The hanging jail is a historic, it's a historic property, apparently. and then in 2007, they had some renovations done to the jail, to the old jail, the hanging jail. Exactly. But they did some renovations, and they had to remove stuff like lead paint and asbestos because it was built in the early 1900s. And then they opened the jail back up to the public, so people could tour it and do all that kind of stuff. Inside the jail, different visitors have reported seeing effervescent men wandering the hall. So I'm just assuming glowy figures or something.
Right.
Also, anyone that stands in the spot where Jenna awaited his fate reports violent stomach pains. So I'm thinking that's because his stomach was pumped. So you get that kind of feeling. And then there have been a lot of different ghostly kind of figures captured in a lot of different people's cameras and stuff. So this guy named Bill Nash wrote about the jail for the Plaquemines Post South. He said he was employed by the Sheriff Bishop, who was the sheriff, I guess, at the time he was employed, just after high school, and he became the midnight dispatcher, the midnight police dispatcher, and worked in the jail for nearly 4 years. So I guess that's where they dispatched police from. So he worked there from 1977 to 1980. He said he would hear the bars and the doors in the jail squeaking, and he'd hear different noises and be like, oh, those two guys must be here kind of thing. But he did say in this write-up that it amped up during rainy and stormy nights. And so, I'm like, have we not seen a Ghost Adventures? That would be debunked. Let's be real. And then Nash also said that he was told by another police dispatcher / officer who said when he was a boy, so this other person said when he was a boy in 1950, he remembers that the rope used for the hangings were still dangling from the same spot where they killed, where they hung the two men. And you could see that from the street. You could see the rope hanging in the gallows area, just passing by on a casual, just casually.
Yeah, that's a bit excessive.
Yeah, I was like, you couldn't have taken that down. They were murdered over 20 years. I mean, killed over 20 years ago. But then they said the rope just eventually disintegrated and was gone. And I put, or was it?
Somebody's got that rope.
Exactly. I'm like, I guess old stuff that can just disintegrate if you don't do anything with it. But I was like, I call bullshit on all of that.
Some teenager went in there on a dare and got that rope.
100%. And now they are cursed forever. Cherie Cohen, our friend Cherie, said in a blog post that even from the outside, the place gives one the creeps. I was like, yes, you are right, Sheree. Architecture students would find the 12-inch concrete block walls and the winding staircase fascinating, but a regular tourist may get the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
She wrote the heebie-jeebies. The curving staircase that leads to the gallows, the jail cells small and dark. She put in here, even though they were one of the first jail cells to have toilets. There you go. Good to know.
Oh,
if you went to the De Ritter Gothic jail, you at least had a toilet. And the living quarters of the jailers loom dark and foreboding.
Oh.
So that kind of just gives you a little description. It's a very like Disney Haunted Mansion kind of looking from the outside. It's like very, I fully support the words, the heebie-jeebies, and giving people the creeps, because it definitely like has that vibe.
Yeah.
It's in the staircase. So I'm going to ask Sheree if I can share the photo from her blog on our social media. Cause it's they had to like go up this winding staircase basically to have a rope around their neck and fall down the center of the staircase. I'm that. Do you imagine having to walk up that?
No,
thank you. Absolutely not. So the hanging jail is currently not open, but during non-COVID times, thanks to COVID, it's not open, but during non-COVID times, typically you can book a tour of the jail. They sometimes host special paranormal tours. I think they do that like in October, like in normally during Halloween. Or they offer something called Gothic Jail After Dark Lantern Tour. That's a mouthful.
Okay.
So it's a lantern tour. I guess you just go up in the jail at night with a lantern and like see what you see. I would love to go see it. I think it sounds like super creepy. But until they open again, I mean, nobody can really go right now. They put something like a day ago that said they still weren't open. But their Facebook page is facebook.com/gothicjailafterdark. And I'm assuming they'll update people, you know, when that happens. You have to book a tour anyway, I think, on the regular. So I kind of feel like they could open up eventually and do small tours.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure they're trying to work it out and deal all with that. It's through the parish, like Beauregard Parish, like operates it. So I think they probably have other shit to deal with than going to tour the hanging jail. I think it sounds fascinating. These guys like kind of suck, so I would assume that they would get stuck somewhere instead of just like going into an afterlife.
They sound unhappy,
so I'm sure that they're there somewhere. But yeah, so that's the De Ritter hanging jail. They also had a movie filmed there, Eli. It was on Netflix. It's a scary movie. Apparently that was filmed there. I don't do scary movies, as we all know, so I will never watch that. But it's the same people, I think, that did like The Conjuring and all of those things. So it's called Eli, E-L-I, on Netflix, if anyone wants to watch it. I think they filmed a lot of it in New Orleans, but like the jail is like one of the main setting, like, you know, backdrop kind of things. But yeah, you can see it in all its creepy glory if you head on over to Netflix. But yeah, that's the De Ritter hanging jail.
Wow. We need to take a road trip.
I would love that. I would personally love that. Again, I still feel bad for them that they had two hangings, and then all of a sudden they're in the hanging jail.
But hey, now they can use it as like a tourist attraction. So
yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's why they had to build another jail, because I'm sure people didn't want to go to that jail. It's on the historic. It's like a historic site now, so they can't do anything. Like they can't, you know, tear it down or do anything, which is cool. I mean, that's like, you know, I'm shocked that they haven't done, I'm, I'm shocked, but I'm also glad that they haven't done something cheesy with it, like a haunted house or something, because that sucks. I don't like when people like take something like a haunted jail or whatever and like turn it in. Like, it's one thing if you do tours, like how Alcatraz, like you can sleep there, you can like it's an experience. But I don't like when they do, like when they take like a cheesy thing and like make it like a haunted house or like a whatever. It's like, I get that people who were in jail were there, but like they're still people. And maybe we should treat them a little bit of respect. Like,
I agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm glad that Beauregard Parish didn't like cheese it up or anything like that.
Definitely.
But I think like in a small town like that, you have to have something more like authentic to get people to go. Like, they're not just gonna go, especially in Louisiana, we have like all those scary ass haunted houses and all of that like all over. So it's like, we don't need another one of those kind of thing. So I think that was a smart move on their part. And I don't know what consists, like besides having a lantern, I don't know what the lantern tour consists of, but sounds pretty cool. I'm not going at it, but
very cool. Yeah, because when you think about how things look in lantern light, it's pretty spooky.
No, thank you. It's a no. It's a no for me, dog. Me and Randy Jackson, it's a no. So that's it. I know. Gothic Jail After Dark on Facebook. That is what they are. But yeah. So that's it. Y'all can take a nice little Louisiana staycation. I was in an interview with the lieutenant governor, and he's pushing a lot of staycation kind of stuff. He said he did his staycation in Natchitoches, so y'all can do your staycation in DeRidder or in Lake Charles. You know, give them some money and help with their economy after all of those hurricanes, if they have stuff up and running.
But,
or go to Alexandria, because it's like kind of halfway in the middle kind of thing. So like Charles, Alexandria. Yeah.
Pie at Lee's and LeConte.
Yes. There you go. Honestly, there's so much to do in this state. And then one of them is the DeRidder Hanging Jail.
There's so much to do. You could just take a road trip all around.
Maybe that's what we'll keep doing. So we can just start doing more plots. And y'all can do a big Easy Spirits road trip.
Love it.
There you go. We got it. Putting it in the books, writing it down on the calendar. We could do bus tours.
I love it.
That's hysterical. Stay tuned. Stay tuned for the Big Easy Greyhound bus tour.
I like the idea of the buses with the, you know, the party bus.
Oh my God, like with the stripper pole and everything.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And they got the lights.
Babies, yes.
Yeah, it's like all and the lights are flashing. I freaking love those. We got one for my junior prom after thing. And then I think we got one the next year for something. No, I love that shit though. You gotta get the one with the stripper pole. I mean, you got to alcohol. Even outside of COVID times, you got to alcohol that shit down. But
we always have a bus that takes us from our where we get dressed for parades to the parade route and then back. So shout out to Bus a Move. That's the best one.
That's hysterical.
Bus a Move.
That is so funny, and so I love a good cheesy pun. But
yeah.
Love it. Well. That's all I got for this week. So,
well, and everybody, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Our next one will come out after Halloween.
Yes. So it will be lots of candy, watch a scary movie or not if you're Kelly.
No. I don't do that. Murdoch Mysteries is as creepy as I get. I tried to start watching the show Salem. I watch it on Hulu. I'm not sure like what it's on regularly. It was so gory, one of the episodes, that I physically couldn't finish eating my sandwich for lunch.
That's
And no. I got through like 6 episodes because Shane West is on it. So Shane West is A Walk to Remember. And then he was also in ER for a hot sec. We know I love ER. And so I was like, oh, Shane West is in it. And then the main chick is in this new show Linda and I like to watch. And I was like, so it must be fine, right? It's not. It's terrifying. It's fucking terrifying.
Okay, I won't watch that. No. I do have a recommendation. If you want a kind of scary movie that's not really scary or gory, Arachnophobia is hilarious.
I already don't like the sound of that.
And it's got John Goodman in it.
Do love John Goodman. Love a John
Goodman. It's so good. It's a great movie, and it's not too scary, and it's not gory. It's just the right amount of, like...
John Goodman used to sit outside of our, like, he'd pick up his daughter. His daughter's, like, I think she's older than me, but, like, around the same age. And that, like, when I was younger, that was when, like, sock hops were, like, a cool thing. So at Metairie Playground, we used to have sock hops all the time. And we see John Goodman come and pick up his kid.
There you go. Watch Arachnophobia. I highly recommend it. There you go.
I'm not gonna, I don't like the sound of that to begin with. So I'm probably gonna pass on them.
It's just about spiders. That's all.
Exactly. What's the phobia of snakes? That's what I have.
I don't know, but I don't like snakes either.
That's my biggest fear in life is a snake.
Yeah. Well, that's not my biggest fear in life, but I don't like snakes.
Biggest fear in life. Hate it. Anyway, yeah. I don't have any good recommendations for you because I don't like scary movies. I can say ones that like scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. The original Carrie. Mommy Dearest. I don't think that's not supposed to be scary, but it's terrifying.
It's terrifying. It's true.
It's not supposed to be, but it'll scare the shit out of you. What's the Shining? My mom does not. Linda does not think The Shining is scary. I personally think it's a mind trip, and it scares the bejesus out of me. Especially because that lady, I call her Olive Oil because she was Olive Oil and Popeye. That lady, yeah, Shelly. She's scary. I know, bless her heart. God bless her. I know she's got some issues. Poor Shelly. She got some issues. She's scary. She's a little terrifying. Yeah. The whole thing is terrifying. And then the kid with the red rum and the finger, it's just, I can't do it. Cannot. So there you go. 3 scary ass movies.
That Kelly will not be watching on Halloween.
No.
Hocus Pocus or something. That's like.
I love Hocus Pocus. We watched that last night while we were pumpkin carving. I love it. If you don't want to watch a scary movie, you can listen to all of our podcasts. It starts out real strong with the LaLaurie Mansion. And let me tell you, that bitch is a scary MF-er to begin with. So that's all the terror and scary you need, and gory and disgusting.
Just queue up a bunch of our podcasts.
There you go.
Carve it.
There you go.
On.
Yep. Get a glass of wine. Get a pumpkin. Turn on Big Easy Spirits.
Love it.
Yep. So BigEasySpiritsPodcast.com, BigEasySpirits@gmail.com. If you want to let us know your favorite movie. Or if you've been in the Ritter hanging jail, we want to know. Is it scary? Have you seen a ghost? Do you have it on camera? Because apparently there's pictures, and I couldn't find any pictures. So I want to see a picture.
Yes.
Or follow us on social media at Big Easy Spirits on Facebook and Instagram. That's it. That's all I got. That's all,
love
folks.
It. All right.
Till next time. Cheers.
Cheers.